We have an awesome show for you guys today.
The greatest defender of all time.
Good news for the sport.
Welcome to the John and Rick Show, brought to you by Horse Trailer Pros. We are in Stressless Studios, John. It is a Merry Christmas holiday for our show. I just want to say it's been a great year. This is episode 24 in our fourth season.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Math.
Yep.
24 times four is how many?
24 times four is 88. Is that right? 98.
No, it's not 98. Hold on.
88.
There's a lot of people.
Let's do it. 96. Thanks, producer Will.
So, basically, end of February
right.
is 100 shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be good.
We got to make this happen.
Our producer Joel.
Joel's ready to party.
Jumping up and down. And
so before we get into it, we do just want to say that if you go to centerlinedistribution.net and use the promo code JR23, you get 20% off of your Stressless products, and that helps out the show as well, guys, if you use that promo code. So please do that.
Yeah, it's great stuff. You should give it a whirl.
Yep. So season's over.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We've got a great show with Will Coleman coming on,
yep.
and then Bobby Costello, who's the technical advisor for the U.S. team, and then we have Mark Grandia, who actually stepped into the cross-country safety subcommittee chair role.
Right.
So I get those guys
so
for
you got
us
that at the convention
the annual meeting.
In St. Louis,
yep.
the 2023 USEA convention in St. Louis. You know, Briggs and I were going to go. We, at the last minute, canceled because one of our meetings got moved and it didn't make sense for us to go. Glad you were there.
Yeah.
Did you get some inside information, anything going on that we should know?
Honestly, I showed up. I went to bed. I woke up. I did two meetings. I went back to my room at 4 p.m. I fell asleep because I had a headache. I woke up at 6:30, ordered Pizza Hut. And ate that, went to bed at 8, woke up the next morning, did two meetings and left.
Short answer is no.
No, I got nothing.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
But I was trying to fill some time, so it's, you know, it's a good show.
Yeah, we don't need time, though.
No, I mean, nothing earth-shattering from the meeting. There's the frangible stuff is still happening,
sure.
which is great. I will say that, you know, sort of people in the sport always, one of the questions I get asked is like, okay, well, do frangibles work? And the numbers have come back from the FEI that the reduction in, I can't remember the exact number, the reduction in falls is huge.
The report that I think Mark Hart and David O'Connor, there was that report was pretty impressive
yeah.
that they were in. You know, I've been hearing a lot of discussions. We have the USEA Riders Committee meeting, which is the segue.
North American era.
Right. It moved into that category. And a lot of riders seem to be concerned about activation that shouldn't have activated.
Yep.
And I feel like that is a concern as well. But I think my question was, we wanted some statistics back of exactly how many in the course of 12 months have been activated, in which activated A, and B, what we think activated by mistake.
I don't think you're going to have that number.
Well, exactly. So they are looking to see if somebody could provide that. But they're wanting to make changes and start trying to do different things that I think, if something's working and we have to take the price for an activation,
yeah,
that comes in,
I mean,
what's your view?
I pushed, and I'm going to continue to push for, and I'll be interested in your thoughts on this. I think, and I have felt this way for a long time, that we need to go back to allow our officials to officiate. And if there's video evidence that they can review, and if there's a potential false activation, we should allow the officials to look at that. And it would need to be official video so that there's no chance that it was altered. And the reality is it still wouldn't be a perfectly level playing field because there's not going to be video of every single fence. But as long as it's the same for every competitor in a division...
But okay, let's talk about what video are you talking about?
What would be that's what would have to be debated. Basically, official video is any video that the officials before the competition designate as official video.
Because there is a new rule coming out about exactly
right.
That, right.
So it would be like if there was a video production team on site right. for live streaming or for selling to the competitors private, that would be official video. Also, you would have, like when the judges have cell phone footage of the flags, that would count as official video. But then you could also, you know, there's any number of other things that if the officials ahead of time said, okay, we're going to give the jump judges.
It's whatever they make official.
I just think it needs to happen because I was at Terra Nova and Jesse Phoenix was first out on the four long. She rattled the bounce into the water and the jump judge was doing a great job. You know, they're sitting there, but they're volunteers and I watched and she just sat there and I walked up and I looked at the jump and looked at the clips and the flags on the clips were not out. So it was fine. And I said to the jump judge, well, thanks for volunteering and you don't need to worry. I checked the jump for you. It's fine. The clips don't need to be replaced. And she said, well, yeah, I wasn't going to check them because the horse didn't hit it. But it did, clearly. Mm-hmm. And you can't blame the jump judge for that. She's doing a million things and probably on the radio and it's the first horse out. But that stuff gets missed. And then you have, you know, Dana Cook had an activation at a table that everybody that I talked to said that shouldn't have activated. Mm-hmm. And if you could see video of it, there was video of it, they should be able to look at that.
I mean, I'm there. I think we went somewhere before where I don't understand why we went away from reviewing them in the beginning.
Because it's still going to be controversial, and you're still going to have people, right. like, you're going to have officials say, nope, that still counts, and then you're going to have riders upset, and so they just said, fine, then we're not going to review it at all. Mm. So, anyway, I just think it's something that we need, that's probably the
big thing. Well, it's a good, you know what, I'm glad we're discussing that and not more accidents
Absolutely.
Happening. So it's a good problem. We're having that discussion. The pins and the clips are working. You know, now we've got to segue through how we can make it fair when they deactivate.
Or activate
unfairly.
Right.
Right.
Is that like Power Rangers? Activate.
Activate.
Right.
No, that's Power Twins activate.
Oh, okay.
Form of.
All right.
Whatever you are.
Darth Vader. all right, listen, we should take a break and get back with Mr. Will Coleman here in the Stressless Studios.
Yep.
Thank you to Stressless, centerlinedistribution.net, promo code JR23. And also, guys, huge thanks to Horse Trailer Pros. Everybody's getting down here into Ocala. Get your trailers in. Get them checked out. It is time of year to get them all serviced and maintenance.
I agree. And before we leave, thanks to all of our people that advertise on the John and Rick Show. It is, without them, we wouldn't have a show.
Nope.
So Horse Trailer Pros, Stressless, and all the many other advertisers that are out there, please look at the products. Go buy them. I know we have a lot of people telling us that they are buying the products we're promoting. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. All right. We'll be right back with Will Coleman. Want to advertise on the John and Rick Show? Contact John at 352-875-8622
or call Rick at 850-879-2649.
For a horse owner on the road, your trailer is essential. No one enjoys being stuck on the road. At Horse Trailer Pros, we repair, renovate, and maintain all makes and models of horse trailers. We work directly with your insurance company or manufacturer for warranty repairs and insurance claims. Our state-of-the-art facility provides quick turnaround and friendly customer service. Considering a living quarter conversion? We do those too. Find comfort on the road with Horse Trailer Pros. Call or text 352-804-2131. HorseTrailerPros.com.
Aero helmets represent real change for equestrian helmets, offering patented new technology and an unparalleled level of safety testing. It is the only Snell certified helmet with MIPS on the market. Aero visors are interchangeable, meaning you can wear your Aero three ways, with a formal visor, a sun visor, and as a skull cap. Our shimmable liner means you can customize the fit for your head and your hairstyle. Upgrade to Aero today.
Hey, Rick here. Do you have a horse suffering from poor performance, anxiety and fear, low appetite, agitation, or nervousness? Stressless can help. Stressless, the hot horse remedy, is veterinarian-developed all-natural formula that promotes calmness, focus, and mood balance in horses experiencing stress related to training, showing, racing, stall rest, and travel. This equine supplement encourages calmness, focus, and mood balance without affecting the motor skills or energy levels of your horse. It promotes a more willing and balanced temperament with no drowsiness or impaired function, resulting in increased focus, a calm mind, and a happier horse and rider. Try StressLess today and see for yourself why we think StressLess is the best hot horse remedy you will find. Check us out at centerlinedistribution.net and on Facebook and Instagram as StressLess Horse Supplement.
Hey, it's John here. I just want to let you guys know I got back from schooling at Magnolia Sands Farm here in Ocala, Florida. Their cross-country field is perfectly suited for a first outing on a young horse or schooling your upper-level horse. Magnolia Sands offers over 110 jumps ranging from starter to intermediate, plus multiple banks, ditches, and waters. They're constantly updating their courses and have even added new ditches and a starter ditch wall. Conveniently located in Northeast Ocala, Magnolia Sands has made it easy for riders and trainers with online waivers, Venmo, and PayPal, and even offer a golf cart for guests. MagnoliaSandsFarm.com.
Equibrew, now available in the USA. It's a live probiotic that you feed daily to your horses. The live microbes go into your horse's gut and cleans up the gut wall, creating a healthy gut system.
Equibrew is an essential part of my feeding program. My horses love to eat it, and it does a really good job of promoting gut health and also good behavior and great performances.
It's something I recommend for all of your horses, no matter what they do in their careers.
It's so affordable, I can use it on all of my horses in the barn, not just my top horses.
Order Equibrew today by going to brickfieldnutrition.com or calling 850-879-2649.
Welcome back to the John and Rick Show, brought to you by Horse Trailer Pros, and we are coming to you from the StressLess Studio. Make sure you guys go to centerlinedistribution.net, use the promo code JR23, and you'll get 20% off of your StressLess orders. We're here with Mr. Will Coleman. Thanks for coming over, man.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we appreciate it. So
I feel honored to be in the studio here.
You should. This is very early days in the studio. We got you trim today.
Whoa.
Yeah, we got trim.
Look
in the
at
studio.
This. I mean, it's...
You can tell I did it myself.
It feels very fresh. Nice.
It is.
I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you had to wear your Darth Vader again.
Yeah, always.
I brought a bag of the ugly ones if anybody wants to slide some on.
Maybe we can get Will in one.
Maybe in the second
next segment.
Yeah. We can, an ugly sweater? Absolutely.
Yeah. We got a bag full.
Checking on.
Awesome. All right, so what you been doing? It's the holidays, obviously. Season's over. You had a great season. Kicked butt all over the world, really. What are you doing now?
Well, we've got, most of the horses are now kind of back into work. We've got one that did turn over that's still sort of going to give them a couple more days. But, you know, we've kind of same old, same old. Their work is obviously not as intense this time of year, but, you know, we've had some jumpers going for the last 3 weeks. So we've done, you know, 2 weeks at Hits and a week at WEC.
Right.
So those horses just kind of, they'll now have a little, kind of a light couple of weeks over the holidays, and then they'll probably be showing a little bit in January. So the event horses are all coming back into work, and you know, it's nice right now. I actually love this time of year. You know,
it's nice when you can like ride, and then if something goes haywire in the day, you're like, all right, that one doesn't have to work today.
Yeah, there's that, which is nice. There's not the same sort of intensity with what you're doing every day, but you know, I really just enjoy riding and you know, just being able to sort of, you know, exercise the horses and play around with them without feeling like you're under any pressure to prepare for anything in the immediate future.
Right.
But a lot of times, you know, you can really take, you know, a whole week to work on one thing if you want with any particular horse. Or, you know, I usually find myself playing around with them on the ground a lot more this time of year than I maybe have time to do or
right.
Would necessarily do during season. So, and, you know, there's a lot of time spent looking at, you know, my plans and, you know, I'm probably have a tendency to overthink things, but I still can't help thinking about things. And I sit there at my desk with, you know, plans A, B, C, D for each horse and, you know.
So you go through and, like, pick out the plan for this year, where you want to go and how to get each horse to it.
You start sort of mulling over what you might feel like would be a good plan for this horse, but and for us right now, like we're still very low horses actually. So, you know, I'm looking at a lot of horses. I've probably looked at 100 videos of horses here in the last kind of few weeks. Haven't really liked any of them.
I'm glad I haven't sent you any videos.
It is. We're looking. It's a very hard horse to find.
Yeah, for sure.
So what horses are on your list right now? You got.
We've got sort of some of the ones we've had for a long time.
Right.
Off the Record, Chin Tonic.
Hold on. Is it Diabolo or Diablo?
Whatever you want it to be, John.
What do you say?
We say Diabolo.
Ah, see, I told you.
Diabolo.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, we accept either, you know.
There you go. Right.
What's his barn name then?
Dab.
All right, yeah. Cool.
Or right. Deb.
He came with that. He was, you know, he's an older horse, so we didn't want to change anything. But
confuse the poor guy.
Yeah, you know. He's got an identity.
Right.
So there's him. He's sort of probably one of the newer faces we have. And then I've got a horse coming back this year, Cold Red Rum, who's a nice younger horse, got hurt a little bit at the beginning of this year. So he'll hopefully be back this year. Who else is there? There's got to be another one.
Five.
That's five?
Yeah.
I've got a new horse coming. Actually, a very new horse that just arrived. He's 8 year old, called Fahrenheit Addict.
That's an awesome name.
So it's a bizarre name.
I love it.
He's French bred, but I got him in Belgium. Team Rebecca owns him.
Cool.
And he's an interesting horse. You know, he was a very off the radar kind of horse. But
so what's that one done?
He actually has done. He did Arville this year, 4-star. Now that I've got him, I would say I'm super impressed that he did that. Because I feel like the horse, and maybe it's just, you know, whenever you get a new horse, there's this learning curve, just learning them and learning what makes them tick or how they're going to fit into your system or how you're going to make your system fit them. And for me, he just doesn't feel like my horse really.
Right.
I went through the same thing with Diabolo, and you know, most of these horses we've had to this point for the last few years have been horses we've had since they were, in some cases, like 3 years old, like Chin Tonic, you know. So you know them inside and out. You know every step of their whole experience. And it's unique, or it's a little different when they have had experiences with other people. You know, that's a different challenge. That's
interesting, because I've heard the same from Melissa when she gets horses that are already like the 3-star level.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, to your point, trying to navigate through...
Yeah.
Maybe foundation size.
I mean, in both cases with Dab and obviously with Fafu is this horse's name.
I thought it was be like Heater.
Fafu.
Like that.
No. He came with Fafu, and we
I like Fafu.
My son calls him Fafu now, so it's over. But they were both horses that we bought. And we knew, okay, we really like the character or who this horse could be, but. When we were discussing it with the owners and with Jerome and Sarah, Team Rebecca, you know, I just said, look, I think he could be a really, really good horse, but I think we just have to be willing to put maybe the first year is going to be whatever it is. And not really worry too much about getting him and immediately feeling like you have to...
have results.
Yeah. So, I mean, with... So that will be the plan with this one. I think it's, you know... and this to get him actually this time of year was sort of perfect. And I've taken him out a couple times, just ridden him at horse shows, and I haven't competed him or anything. But
look for a horse like that, do you look for just the best horse you can find, or do you look for a horse that sort of fits you and your program?
Both. You know, I mean, obviously we want it to be a horse that we feel like could be, you know, a 5-star horse, competitive 5-star horse. That's sort of where we start. This horse has a ton of blood. I actually think on the cross country, he's, I think uniquely sort of talented in how he sort of reads things and stuff like that. But the program was incredibly, simple. He came from a really nice guy, and he rides decent, but the program is, I think the horse is probably missing a few pieces of his education. So for me, I'm just going to take as long as it takes to sort of put that foundation in there and really develop a lot of trust with the horse.
Right.
And I think it's going to take 12 to 15 months, but I think at the end of that, you know, we have a really nice 9-year-old that hopefully is, you know, maybe looking at, yeah, doing 5-star. So
that's cool. And I think that's, it's just, it's interesting because I've been actually talking about that a lot with Ride IQ. Mm-hmm. A lot of the conversation we've been having is like, okay, so once you've sort of gone to a level, do you want to get a horse that you're going to start yourself and bring on, or do you want a horse with experience and mileage? And I remember Darren Chacha years ago said to me, if you're going to buy a horse with miles, you better like the miles. Mm-hmm. And I've always sort of thought about that because yeah. I've certainly had horses with experience that I didn't go well with because I struggled to get on the same page with them. So it's always, yeah. I would, to me, and I think probably for everybody, a bit of a challenge to be like, okay, it's a great horse, but
yeah.
Is it going to go with the way that I need it to go?
You know, I don't think you ever really know. I think in all these cases, you're either going to look like a genius or an idiot. The middle road is basically, you know, hopefully it's not a disaster. But I feel like the horse is, I like him. You know, I think he's going to be a good horse. I think the biggest thing is I think you have to feel like it's going to be a horse you enjoy riding and training, and that the horse is going to enjoy it as well. And I do feel like this horse is going to be like that, but it's really hard to project on, you know, how that process is going to go. And, you know, when we were looking at horses, it's a funny market right now for horses. You know, if you want something that's, you know, proven results at a certain level, I mean, the money being thrown around for some of these horses is pretty crazy. And talking with, you know, my owners, you know, we tried to sort of strike a bargain between, okay, well, we may not want to start with a batch of 4-year-olds again for this particular purchase, just because, you know, I guess we're all getting kind of older.
Not me.
And
go, Will.
So basically our mission statement was, okay, let's see what's out there. See if we can find something that's interesting that doesn't cost, you know, $500,000 or more. And
right,
it's
right.
That's sort of, it's crazy that's where we are. I think the horse pricing is a little nuts, but the nice thing is we found this horse we think has a lot of the athletic attributes we would want. His record isn't great. I think his production to this point has been fine, but not probably as prepared as maybe I would want a horse to be to do what he's done. And if we can go fill in those pieces, we maybe have a really, really nice horse at a very, very nice price. But, you know, that's the job.
Sure, you got to put in a year and a half to get there.
And you got to put in the time. And, you know, the other thing is...
What I want to do is we need to take a break.
Yeah.
And then I want to hear about how you're going to put in the time and what the plan is.
Mm.
And then how you're going to get to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I know that we screwed up. We're going to do it in the next one because I screwed this up. This is supposed to be the Equibus segment.
It's okay. Hey.
John,
I know.
Where's your script, man?
Yeah, I suck. I realized that about halfway through. So, sorry, Equibrew. Yeah. Sorry, Equibrew.
Where's the smile sign?
Equibrew.
Yeah. Can I say, this is supposed to have been the Equibrew segment. We're going to just put that to 3. Hopefully, I can talk to the CEO.
Really? No, you're getting 2 segments. So, I mean, it's kind of a...
There we go.
You're welcome.
Bit of a bonus. Thanks. For Equibrew, I would say.
Sorry.
I'll take it.
All right, so we're going to be right back in the Stress Less studio with Mr. Will Coleman.
Equibrew, now available in the USA. It's a live probiotic that you feed daily to your horses. The live microbes go into your horse's gut and cleans up the gut wall, creating a healthy gut system.
Equibrew is an essential part of my feeding program. My horses love to eat it, and it does a really good job of promoting gut health and also good behavior and great performances.
It's something I recommend for all of your horses, no matter what they do in their careers.
It's so affordable, I can use it on all of my horses in the barn, not just my top horses.
Order Equibrew today by going to brickfieldnutrition.com or calling 850-879-2649.
Grant Showalter has over 15 years of equine bodywork and saddle fitting experience. His technique allows him to identify and alleviate tightness in muscles. He uses trigger point massage to release points of restriction. Grant has over a decade of experience fitting and adjusting a wide variety of saddles. His expertise in equine physiology, coupled with a thorough understanding of the importance of a properly fitted saddle, allows him to quickly identify and correct any balance issues. Grant can also adjust your saddle on site. Grant works on all of my competition horses, and I have noticed a significant improvement in their performance at competitions and their overall way of going. Grant's based in Ocala, Florida year-round, but regularly travels to the surrounding areas. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 484-639-4454.
Hi, my name's Leslie Law, and we are a proud supporter of Jump for Joy. We've been using their portable cross-country jumps now for about 10 to 15 years. We love these jumps because, as you can see, they're very easy to move. It would only take another person on the other side, and I could place this fence wherever I wanted to very easily.
Welcome back to the John and Rick Show, brought to you by Horse Trailer Pros. Welcome to our Stressless Studios. Will, thanks for staying with us. As John did in the second segment, he forgot about Equibrew. Yeah. So here we are.
I'm sorry.
Equibrew is a great live probiotic, and we're sponsoring this segment. Listen, guys, it really works on your horses. Gut health is very important. Hagyard in Kentucky just had a huge scientific webinar about Equibrew, and they're all on board. They're prescribing it to horses with gut problems, but it's something to use every single day with your horses. You'll see big differences in all the way from their coat to their behavior. So order Equibrew, brickfieldnutrition.com. There we go, we got it done.
Did we get a promo code yet?
Promo code, just tell me you need a discount.
That's a really complicated promo code.
I like that though.
I like it.
I like that.
I like it. So I apologize again. Thank you for doing that. Will, so we were talking about this new horse, Fafu. And you're going to take the next, did I get that right, Fafu?
You nailed it.
Oh, yes. So what's the plan sort of with him to get rolling this winter and sort of to make him yours?
I would say that's still being formulated.
All right.
He's been here for a couple months, maybe a little less than that. I've taken him out to, like I said, a couple horse shows, took him to WEC dressage show where I just kind of schooled around. And then I took him to Hits for, a couple times and just rode him around the horse show there when I was jumping some other horses. And I'm going to do a lot of that probably for the next few weeks. Like, if there's a trailer going somewhere, he's just going to get on it and go places. I think, the guy that he came from is just an absolutely lovely guy, but he had a full-time job. So, his ability to sort of do some of these things with his horse, and he told me this when I got him, is, he was pretty restricted by just hours he was putting into his business. So, he's a true amateur in the sense that he was, trying to do these things with his horse in his spare time, which I think for anybody out there who has a full-time job trying to do eventing, you can understand how difficult that is, just to try to juggle those two acts. So I think some of this horse's greenness that I'm feeling is probably just a reflection of that, and just Bruno's inability to just sort of have the time to do some of these things. And I'm going to try to make up for that. And there's no better place for me to do that than to be in Ocala for the winter. There's just so many things for us to do with the horses.
Right.
And I really like taking ones to horse shows and not necessarily competing the first few times.
To see the reaction, what they do.
Yeah, you just get a sense of how they handle the whole kind of going someplace or, trailer, getting off the trailer, how they are to be tacked up, pack around. You get just a glimpse at sort of maybe what anxieties might be under the hood.
Right.
And so far, I would say he's pretty comfortable being away from home. He just, I think, in riding him and training him just for these first few weeks, you kind of just get the sense that he thinks everything is kind of a little bit of a big deal. Like even jumping like a small cross rail at home, he, just puts in sort of a silly amount of effort, So I think just kind of trying to get him to just level out and learn how to regulate his emotions and his, energy a little bit is probably goal number one. I think some of the flat work stuff is just kind of just work on the basics. I mean, it's going to be kind of ABCs here for 6 months. And he's talented enough that I think a solid foundation is going to just unlock a potentially really, really nice test. But the foundation might take a little while, and that's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so with that being said, you got that one in here. 2024 is a big year.
Mm.
It's a Paris year. Olympic year?
That's what I hear, yeah.
So I saw that applications were up, ready to be filled out and submitted on the USEF dashboard.
Right. Are they?
So what do you got going on? What's your plan for lead up to Paris?
Well, I would say I've got two horses that I think are that we would be sort of targeting for that event off the record in Chintonic. Diabolo would be an outside third. But he's probably at this stage still a little green for like a championship type event, and but you never know how at his age, you know, he might, some of the things that I think we were starting to sort of put together over the course of last year, you never know how he might come out this spring. Maybe he's going to be sort of a maybe a dark horse contender, but at this point it's probably those two off the record and Chintonic that are like my best shots. But it's a really competitive team. You know, I'm really not coming into this year and thinking about doing a whole lot different to what I've been doing. Right. I'm just trying to get 1% better in a bunch of different areas. And if I can do that, then that's really what I can control. And the rest of it, I just, you kind of just throw your hands in the air and just remember that it's a pretty, you know, good life regardless. And Olympics is basically just a horse show that comes around every 4 years. So it'd be great to go, but it doesn't always happen. For these two horses, I think that they've been produced with the idea of maybe being there for that, Chintonic expressly. Off the record, it's kind of been batting around top level for a while. So both those horses, in my mind, are going to go to Kentucky and do the four short. And I will not be, at this point, that's sort of my plan.
Pressing them for the five long, there's no reason to...
I just think for both those horses, it would be difficult, I think, to peak them for two events like that within that kind of compressed time frame. Olympics are late July. So, you know, and then depending on how we're looking for selection or how selection pans out, if they don't end up going, there'll be other things that we can go do. But for this spring, I think we are committing to at least trying to put ourselves in position to be selected. And my plan will be to use the four short as the springboard towards building towards that as the big goal for the year. And
that's good insight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that I would be thinking that a lot of people would probably be, or at least not everybody, but I think some will probably do the same thing. And I think in years past, and I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but when we've had an Olympic Games falling and, you know, kind of usually it's about this time, right? End of July. Early August.
Yep.
And we've always pushed people to do the five star. You know, it's just really difficult, especially to come out of like a Kentucky or a Badminton, and then in early May, you give them a little time off, and then it's just hard to kind of get them back into that.
Right. You almost have what, like 6 weeks of work, and you got to go.
Yeah, and then you know you're preparing. You know, for in this case, it's a different test. The Olympic test is always a new test. You know, so some of those things are just, I think the timing of it is difficult. And, you know, it's funny, but, you know, Badminton, or I guess for Tokyo, COVID year, they canceled Badminton.
Right.
And for the British team, I know that the higher ups involved with that squad were relieved that Badminton was canceled, because it's very difficult for any of those riders to tell their owners they're not going to go do Badminton. But for the Olympics and preparing for that, it was probably the best thing that happened. And they ran a very competitive four short at Bicton, and they obviously went to the Olympics and they just smashed it. Now, I'm not saying that because we do Kentucky four short, that's going to be the same story for us, but I think...
Of course it is. You guaranteed it. Everybody heard it here. Coleman guaranteed gold medal for U.S. and individual. I heard
from
it.
From a horsemanship standpoint, I do think it makes sense.
I agree with you.
But we'll see. I mean, that's my plan. And, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. But, you know, you're not really... The Olympics are always there, back of your mind, but on a day-to-day basis, you just got to stick to your...
So with the new format at the Olympics, are you... does that bother you at all? You know,
I don't think anybody likes it.
Yeah. I mean, it bothers me, but I was, you know...
It's
does it feel the same to you?
No. Well, I mean, no. I mean, I think it's just... It's obviously it's an incredibly hard team to make now.
Right.
Three spots basically available, unless you can count the fourth, but I think none of us really consider that as a true team spot.
Right.
But you know, it was a compromise made to keep us in the Olympics. This is kind of the story we've been given. So I guess in that respect, you kind of take your lumps and just move on with it. But you know, Tokyo really didn't shake things up that much. But I just have a feeling that this could be a lot more chaotic. And I don't know why I feel like that, but
as the actual competition, or how it affects everything else.
Well, just with the three scores, you know, if somebody falls off, or you know, it's an absolute crusher for any team, and
that makes a mistake.
Yeah, and our sport probably as many. I mean, you saw it actually. It probably was more impactful in the jumping, which you wouldn't necessarily think, but they had several teams, you know, really, really like German teams and some of the kind of perennial favorites that were sort of knocked out by one round that just went terribly awry. Right.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and it's sort of, you know, it sort of counters a little bit the randomness that's sort of inherent within our sport. You know, things can sort of happen, and the drop score sort of accounted for some of that randomness, not completely eradicating any chance at a good result.
Absolutely, and I think the big thing is we want to stay in the Olympics, that's great, but we need to make sure it doesn't filter into all of our other team competitions, don't we? Like world championships and things like that, we want to keep that.
Yeah, I hope those all stay like they are.
Stick to what we are for those. I understand why we want to have the Olympics, so we compromise, but I do worry that a competition that happens once every 4 years for three people shouldn't change everything for the rest of the sport.
Well, to this point it hasn't. Hopefully, I agree with you. I hope it stays that way. But
listen, man, I appreciate it. Thank you to Equibrew.
Yep.
Which is brickfieldnutrition.net?
No,
com. Damn. Brickfieldnutrition.com.
And before everybody leaves,
this teleprompter.
Segment, I know, right? He needs it. For people out there listening on Spotify, we are all in our Christmas sweaters. Will was a great guy and put on the llama sweater. So I wish you could see it if you can't
Who wouldn't want to wear the llama sweater?
Exactly.
It's pretty awesome. Man, poof. I'd make sure that he doesn't take off with your llama sweater.
Actually, you can have a nice llama sweater. Probably the son and daughter probably like that when you walk in like that.
Oh man, you kidding me?
I'd love that.
Why don't you take it as a present?
There you go.
Take it on home.
We usually give a t-shirt, you get a llama sweater.
I mean, I feel like this is too much, Rick.
It's on us.
Wow.
Awesome. Wow. Look at that.
Bought by the show like 3 years ago.
I was excited about coming, but had I known a llama sweater was on the line here.
That would have been it.
You would have been here early.
Okay, I could have been here early.
Yeah, awesome. Listen, man, I really appreciate it. We're going to be back in the virtual studio. We're going to the USEA annual meeting, and we've got Bobby Costello, the technical advisor.
Virtual studio.
Yeah. No, we're pretty high tech, man.
This is crazy.
We hold Bobby to all kind of standards, so he's virtual.
Yeah, he's virtual. So it's pretty great. And I have to say the videography
saw a little sliding guy over there.
Yeah,
it's
pretty awesome.
Multiple cameras.
Yeah. This is high tech stuff.
It's legit.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back. Thank you to Equibrew.
And Stress Studio.
For the studio. Of course. Everybody. Thanks, everybody. Jump for Joy fences are easy to move, lightweight, durable, and low maintenance. So we're out here on the cross country. We just finished over in the show jumping over the Jump for Joy fences. Had a great time schooling over them. They're really nice and easy to move, so we were able to adjust some things and really have the exact school that we needed thanks to the Jump for Joy fences. I love them.
Order yours at jumpforjoyusa.com.
Aero helmets represent real change for equestrian helmets, offering patented new technology and an unparalleled level of safety testing. It is the only Snell-certified helmet with MIPS on the market. Aero visors are interchangeable, meaning you can wear your Aero three ways, with a formal visor, a sun visor, and as a skull cap. Our shimmable liner means you can customize the fit for your head and your hairstyle. Upgrade to Aero today.
Since 1950, Maison Forestier has been offering its know-how to design custom-made saddles for passionate riders. In 2016, Maison Forestier took a turn and expanded into the sports world with the goal of improving the performance of the rider-horse pair. You will find a professional, reactive, and fun team to answer your needs. And this is why I have chosen Forestier for all of my saddler needs. Feel free to contact the saddle expert in your area for more information by visiting www.forestier.com.
Hey, it's John here. I just want to let you guys know I got back from schooling at Magnolia Sands Farm here in Ocala, Florida.
Your cross-country field is perfectly suited for a first outing on a young horse or schooling your upper-level horse. Magnolia Sands offers over 110 jumps ranging from starter to intermediate, plus multiple banks, ditches, and waters. They're constantly updating their courses and have even added new ditches and a starter ditch wall. Conveniently located in Northeast Ocala, Magnolia Sands has made it easy for riders and trainers with online waivers, Venmo, and PayPal, and even offer a golf cart for guests. MagnoliaSandsFarm.com. All right, welcome back to the John and Rick Show, brought to you by Horse Trailer Pros. We are in our virtual
secret location.
Travel, yeah, secret location, stressless studio. Remember, guys, to go to centerlinedistribution.net, use the promo code JR23, and that is going to get you 20% off of all of your stressless products.
Super deal.
So I am here with Bobby Costello, and you have to remind me again, what's the official title?
Jeez, John.
Let me try.
Well, no, it's
USCF Chef to Keep and High Performance Director.
Technical Advisor. It's actually become a little bit easier for the Defender Eventing Team.
So you're the Technical Advisor for the Defender Eventing Team. That's what I said.
I'm not arguing with you.
Okay, so we're here at the annual meeting. I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
You bet.
In your busy, busy schedule. So the one thing, the first thing I wanted to talk to you about was obviously all these new lists came out for all the different tiers of riders.
Yes.
So how does that work? How do these guys get on the list? How do they come off the list? Like, what's the story?
Well, last year, a year and a half ago, when the whole high performance program was revamped, the elite task force came, you know, basically put out a huge paper, and this was the way the program was going to run. Lots of athletes involved. Really smart people in the sport, kind of really stripped the program down to its bones and kind of put it back together again, doing a fabulous job, by the way. And I had nothing to do with it. I was kind of in that zone of not being a selector anymore and wasn't really doing my technical advisor job yet. So that was up to other people, but they did a really, really good job. Part of it is that, you know, so the elite, pre-elite list, the criteria for that is very involved, and you can go onto the USCF website and look that up if you really want to know exactly what a rider must achieve, the score he must achieve, placing that they must achieve.
And is that onto one of these lists? Is that for all the lists? They all have.
This is just for the elite, pre-elite.
Okay.
I'm not exactly 100% sure what happens for the developing, the emerging.
So the elite and pre-elite lists are, at the end of the day, they're primarily based on scores that riders achieve.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now, yes, absolutely, and they're taking after a little bit what we've now done in the last, well, last year was the first year we came out with the list, but it's strictly, for the first time, it was strictly objective criteria, no subjectiveness at all. So not just like, yeah, I got a feeling that this person is going to, whatever. For these lists, they are populated by athletes achieving objective criteria at the five-star level.
And that's the new list that just came out?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So basically, it was the same as last year. You know, last year was the first year. There was a couple of very minor tweaks, but for all intents and purposes, the same criteria. It's quite involved. There's five different, I think, pathways that someone can make it onto the elite list.
Right.
Each and every one of them is a very, very high bar. But if you look at our results from this year, and we were in a meeting just a little while ago, and when you actually look back at the year and see the successes that our athletes had, it's actually pretty impressive. And I think, you know, the way that the elite task force set the program up, I feel very confident that had a lot to do with it. The bar has been raised incredibly, incredibly high. But you know, the top tier of athlete have really risen to the occasion, and but it's hard. It's very, very difficult.
And it is hard to stay on that list. And I guess one of the questions that actually Rick told me to ask was, when you very first sort of came into this role, one of the things that you either said or implied was, once these athletes get on these lists, it's not a you're on, you're off situation, but you're in the program, you're in there for a few years, you're going to be followed up. So, like, thinking of, like, this year, just as an example, we had two members that were on that Pan Am team who are not on these lists going forward. What happens to those guys?
So let me just clarify that this being on these lists for several years, that's for the developing and emerging
Well, and programs. A couple of those are not.
Right. So, and because it, you can, you'll have to talk to Leslie and
I'd like you to speak for Leslie.
Yeah, right. He'd love that. But no, for the elite list, they are on one of the elite pre-elite list. They are on there for 1 year,
okay.
And within that year, they have to either have another result. They have to have another result from that list of ways to making it onto the program. And those lists are updated every 6 months. So December and then again in June.
Yep.
So somebody goes to Kentucky in the spring and finishes in the top five or has, I believe, a score sub 33 finishing score. They would then enter that elite program at that time for a year.
And it's totally result based.
Yes.
Which actually I think personally, like as a rider, like I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Because it's funny. Here we go. This is great technology we have here at the show. Get this back. Now we can't see our heads. Lean back a bit. So I think it's cool and it's interesting. Like I think as a younger person getting on that team, that probably stresses people out. As somebody who is a little more seasoned, such as myself, mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool because you know, okay, if you want to do it, you just have to go and this is the score you got to get.
Yeah, and you can.
It's a high bar,
you
but
can
it's
be,
achievable.
You can be a hungry younger rider or older rider that goes and kicks some serious, you know what, at a five star or wins a four star.
Yeah.
And you will have earned the right to be on these lists. So for years was a selector and subjectively populated the training list for the winter training list. And everybody was had a little bit of trepidation when we went into this new way of doing things, but it's great because it doesn't, you know, and people have got to know, like, just because if they're not on making one of these lists, that absolutely does not in any way preclude them from selection to an Olympic team, to a Pan Am team, a World Games team, any of these Nations Cup competitions that we go to. Those are separate.
What do you get then for being on the list? If it doesn't mean you get an inside mm-hmm. shot to the team.
Well, so in a way you kind of do because you get that comes along with funding, you know. There's definitely benefits that hopefully are going
to,
I mean,
and access
the reason why those lists are so hard to make is because hopefully that will be preparing the horses and athletes for the big championships that we want to go and medal at. But it does not preclude someone that's just still trying to, you know, make it from making it. So But when you look at what you have to do to make these lists, people should be saying to themselves, I better get busy because it's not an easy task.
Yeah, no, for sure. So has there been a situation where you think, okay, this is a rider that I really think a lot of, but they didn't meet the criteria mm-hmm. and that you put them on a list, or how do you deal with that?
No, that can happen again for the developing and emerging. I think there's a wild card or talent spot you can get on being talent spotted. That's not the case for the elite, pre-elite list.
But surely you've got something where you keep an eye on people.
I mean, I know the people that I have in my sights. They know that they're in my sights.
So you've communicated with them.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, I have
a list in my brain of people that I make a point to talk to, that I make a point to make sure I'm keeping up with them at the competitions, because I know that they're on the cusp of hopefully doing great things and having the results to make it onto these lists. And frankly, like sometimes we're trying to shore up any gaps between the programs, but I think that there's always an age group where it's tough. You know, like you were successful as a young rider. You're trying to make it as a young professional. I mean, I remember going through this and you feel like you spent a few years in limbo, like you're not quite, have a little bit too much experience or not quite young enough for that, you know, the under 21s and 25s, but I'm still a little bit away from the senior list and so those are the people that I really try to make sure that I, you know, pay attention to and talk to and keep an eye on. And as long as they're, and I had, you know, and they also know that they can be in touch with me at any time. And as long as they're, I see progression and I see that they're posting and having the results or the better results, I will always be, you know, looking after them.
Well, and I think,
not, I won't.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I think the other thing is, well, I hope everybody feels this way. I know I do, but maybe it's because we're friends, but I always feel like you're a pretty approachable guy. Like
yeah.
if anybody has questions about any of this stuff or what they can come yeah. to you, and you're really good at setting jumps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've set them for the world at
yes.
some events.
Yes. Mm. I know. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I've done it for this guy.
Yeah.
No, people, and, you know, and I do tell, I mean, I put it out there all the time, like never hesitate to call me. Like
yeah.
don't be ever intimidated to call me. I'm still shocked by the people that don't take that opportunity. Like anybody can call me at any time and just like, you know what? Like, and I do have people that's like, I just want to talk to you about like what I have planned for the spring. And, or I want to talk to you about my fall season and,
right.
and like get your idea. Like what am I missing? What do I need to do? And so I love talking to people like that because I was way more of that person.
Than, right.
You know, I did go to Olympics, I did go to Pan Ams, but I spent way more time being that person, like just trying to always fight
sure.
to stay
yep.
good enough. So yeah, I appreciate those guys for sure.
Yeah. Awesome.
Our top tier guys, they're gonna be fine. Like they, you know, they have good horses. They have it's not crazy amounts of funding, but they do get funding. And my job is to just keep a close eye on them, but I don't have to be orchestrating their.
Sure, they have their program. That's why they're there.
Day to day, exactly. And that was the whole point of re kind of doing this, that the elite program was for that very thing, letting people continue with the programs that have gotten them to that top level where they're having good results at five stars, where they're making it on to Nations Cup teams or senior teams, and let them keep going with those programs and just let me kind of be a very close observer and consultant, whatever.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think the secret tonic is winning, which obviously yeah. has been happening more and more. So the proof is in the pudding that way. And yeah, I mean, well done.
Thank you.
And yeah, so I'll make sure I run your number across the bottom here,
yes.
the personal
yes.
cell phone, so
yes.
that anybody can get a hold of you.
Do it.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
That's it?
That's it. That's all you got to do.
That's all we're talking about?
Yeah, what else do you want to talk about?
Nothing.
No, come on.
Let's go.
What else?
How are the, what's your team, the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
How are
My
they
team
doing
is great.
Year?
They're playing well. We're going to the Packer game next weekend with Caden and Jen.
And you're an owner, aren't you?
I am an owner. Yeah, I'm an NFL owner.
Yeah. I don't know how that works.
You would know if you ever came to my house to hang out, you would see my ownership certificate in my bar, but you never come anymore.
God, I haven't been invited.
You're invited anytime. My studio, our studio, the John Richo Studio, is at my property now. So the next time you're in Ocala, come over. You don't have to do that. And we'll just hang out in the bar.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You guys heard it here. Bobby's going to come hang out. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep.
For a horse owner on the road, your trailer is essential. No one enjoys being stuck on the road. At Horse Trailer Pros, we repair, renovate, and maintain all makes and models of horse trailers. We work directly with your insurance company or manufacturer for warranty repairs and insurance claims. Our state-of-the-art facility provides quick turnaround and friendly customer service. Considering a living quarter conversion, we do those too. Find comfort on the road with Horse Trailer Pros. Call or text 352-804-2131. HorseTrailerPros.com.
Welcome to the hunt. The pursuit of greatness awaits, and we're on a mission to conquer our goals. Every step we take, every lift we make, we are driven by an insatiable hunger for excellence. There are no limits, no boundaries that can hold us back. We may have different objectives, but we share a common purpose: to push beyond our limits and achieve the extraordinary. Like a pack of fierce and unstoppable warriors, we stand united, a community of relentless individuals who refuse to settle for mediocrity. Obstacles, they're just stepping stones on our path to success. We welcome them, learn from them, and rise above them. We celebrate each other's victories and lift each other higher, inspiring greatness in one another. CrossFit eFit, we don't just hunt for success, we embody it, breathe it, and conquer it. Prepare yourself, because this isn't for the faint-hearted. This is for those who crave the thrill of pushing beyond the ordinary. CrossFit eFit, on the hunt.
Welcome back to the John Rick Show, brought to you by Horse Trailer Pros, and we're still here at the USPA annual meeting. We are in our mobile stressless studio. Make sure you guys go to centerlinedistribution.net, use the promo code JR23, and you get 20% off of Stressless, which is a great product. And I am here with the biggest sucker in the world, Mark Grandia, because you have agreed to take on the chair of the Cross Country Safety Committee. So, in all seriousness, thanks for doing it. I think it's such an important role for somebody to be in, and I sort of beat you into it for the last 2 years, but you finally took it on. So why did you do it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm still trying to figure that out myself. I think, you know, obviously everybody on the show here knows John very well. I believe he's defined the role of safety in our sport, and he asked me to do it. So here I am trying to just keep that going.
Man, I appreciate it. You don't have to be nice just because you're on the show. In fact, you can be mean. It's usually funnier. So obviously that committee, I think the biggest thing that we have done over the last few years is sort of push on the frangibles.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about like the good of that, but obviously there's always consequences of that as well. And there's good and bad with everything we do. So I guess before we get into what your vision needs to be, what are your feelings on sort of where we're at with what accomplished and what we need to do? You don't have to be.
So one of the big things that's coming out at this meeting anyway, is that new FEI statistics where we're 70% safer than we were 10 years ago, 70% less rotational falls, 30% less horse falls. And a big part of that is frangible, not all of it, but certainly. Frangible and course design and better coaching and better riding and all those things. Obviously, frangible technology, even though I hate that term because it's not new technology, we're just talking about hinges and metal things. Simple stuff. But obviously, frangible technology has taken forward leaps and bounds over the last few years because of the fundraising, largely that you did, right?
And well, the committee.
Okay.
Speaking of which, if we do more fundraising, are you now going to get a tattoo?
No, sorry.
That was pretty quick.
But I believe we could probably do more fundraising for you to get another tattoo. Just because you're not the chair doesn't mean that you can't get your body.
I was hoping to
pass
the buck on all of this, but okay. Anyway, go ahead.
I think that's not a bad idea. I just found out this morning, actually, speaking of fundraising, we got another $150,000 for the dedicated frangible fund.
Yep, which is pretty cool.
So we're at 258, I believe, and that money will go directly to events next year, training level and above for frangible technology. You'll see those jumps out on the course.
Yeah, and so you had in the meeting this morning, you had an idea of how you want to use those funds. Obviously, it has to go through your committee.
Right.
But what's your vision on that?
So next year, they're rolling out with a new rule. Anything that's newly constructed, everything newly constructed and maybe even retrofitting old jumps. Anything that can be frangible needs to be. The new part of that is training level and above. It used to be just preliminary, modifies in there somewhere as well.
So just quick sidebar, and then I want you to keep going that. How do we, this is like, that's a bit of a leading question, but how do we say it needs to be at training level and above? Because when we first started this, we said it didn't work at training level, didn't have enough distance to fall.
I mean, things have developed quite a lot since then. Okay. We're using smaller rails. There's plenty of distance for it to fall. It actually, in the FEI rules, it's I can't remember. It's either 7 or 14 inches that it has to fall, right? And that's not very far.
Right.
So I think it may be 7 is the minimum, 14 is the maximum, actually.
Somewhere in there.
14 is the spread. But there's plenty of room. In a 3-3 fence, there's plenty of room for it to fall 7 inches. It's like 7.1. It's in centimeters, so it doesn't translate well. But there's plenty of room. And there's need for it. I mean, there are horses that are falling at training level of rotational falls and serious accidents where originally, the FEI statistics, I believe they were FEI statistics, yep, thought that it was at preliminary where most horses started to tip up and have rotational falls. Those are the ones we're really after. And we've had some at training level, and we're just trying to, USCA is trying to be as safe as possible.
Right.
If we can, we should, and we can. It's really not that hard to address it.
So back to your point of those training level competitions and where you saw, where you see sort of investing some of this $258,000 mm-hmm. into frangibles.
So I would, because I think it's a burden for events, right? The stuff is expensive. And in the past, we've been very good about allocating money to put tables and corners and things out there. And now next year, events that run maybe only up through training level are faced with having to do frangible stuff for potentially the first time.
Right.
So I don't know. We have a very small committee. I think it's me and Andy Bowles and Hannah, and I can't remember who else is on that committee. You weren't on the last, the I don't think you were on that
then
one.
They pulled
the frangible fund thing.
Yeah, I was on that.
Anyway.
I think
you better talk to Andy
off.
About that. Yeah, I specifically Andy. Remember him saying something about, I don't think you need to talk to John about this.
Interesting, Andy. All right. That's the way it's going to be. We'll find out. Go ahead.
That was like last March or something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Anyway.
That's fine. Awkward.
Anyway, they will. I really hope that we can put that money out there to help the lower level events, so they're not overburdened by this. We can,
right.
Everybody can be a bit safer. To your point, I think it was your first question. There's been actually a lot of discussion at this meeting about sometimes the frangibles work effectively.
Yeah, unintended consequences.
And sometimes they work when they're not supposed to. And that didn't bother anybody until we started penalizing riders. Right now at a USEA event, if you knock down a frangible, you get 11 penalties. There's been a lot of discussion about that, and it's definitely something that's coming that we just have to make the technology better.
Yep.
The application of it better, the installation of it better, the understanding from the officials better, and the understanding from the riders
better. I think it needs to be able to be reviewed. Like, I think we need to empower the officials and give them the ability, which they used to have, to be able to look at video evidence. I guess it would have to be official video evidence, but to be able to look at that and and say, yep, it worked as it should have, or likely that shouldn't have gotten activated, because it doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, it seems to always happen when it really matters, like happened to poor Liz.
Yeah.
At Kentucky, it happened at Terra Nova. And I think, again, you get all these fences out there. It does mean that you're counting on jump judges who very often are not completely confident with how these systems work to be able to say, yeah, I need to change these clips, or no, I do not. So I just feel like, in my opinion, that needs to be reviewable. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I can't disagree with it. I mean, I think I had one frangible this year, and I deserved it. So, they would have reviewed it, and I would have had the penalties. But there are certainly other times when it didn't necessarily save a fall, and that's the whole intention, right?
Maybe you could have, like, I was thinking out of this box, maybe you could give the riders, like, the NFL, you have two penalty flags you can throw, two challenge flags.
Two in a year?
Through your season. You can use
them. That's actually a good idea, because some people would be using it too often.
You can use it twice in a 12-month period, and that is it. And if I come up with some good ones.
I wonder what else we can apply that to, though.
A lot of stuff.
Dressage scores?
Yeah, mulligan.
Two challenge flags?
Yeah. You get to redo your test. You
really did not like that one.
NFL in cross country, and then you could use golf rules in dressage because it's a little more sophisticated.
Yeah.
Just get a mulligan. So what sort of, just because we've got about a minute left here, but what do you have things that you envision, like, okay, this is what my goal for this role as being chair of this committee is going to be this next few years?
I mean, I don't think it's up to the chairman of the committee to necessarily steer where it goes, because there's so many great people on that committee.
For sure.
Right? The Cross-Country Safety Committee. However, if there was one thing that I'd really like to solve, it's this gap between, like, what's actually possible and what we're allowed to do with frangible technology.
So, like, for example, you built a table, you were saying, that you think is a good option, an easy option, but you're struggling to get it to be approved to use in competitions.
Right. Yes, I think the pathway is too difficult to make to approve things to make. If we were just talking about safety, right? It's very simple. Make it fall down a little bit. Make it a little bit lower. Make it move out of the way quickly so that a horse is able to get their feet back under themselves. That's really easy, but we're not. We're penalizing riders. We're talking about how hard should it fall. We don't want to lose the integrity of cross country. Course designers are very much worried about the integrity of the sport, not because they want to hurt horses, but because cross country is in itself different than the other aspects of, right, of our sport. And so with all those things in mind, there's a big gap between where we are, what we're using out there. Tables are a super good example of that, right? Sometimes they work, yep. Sometimes they don't. Yep. Sometimes they don't fall down when they should. Sometimes they fall down far too easy. That was the thing at Terra Nova, yep, right? And they've even just changed those. I just learned yesterday in the course designers thing, they changed the angle of the clip where it attaches, not just the angle, but actually they put it much lower. So tables are going to fall, I mean, it's got to be 50% easier. Because it's lower, right? So now you've got more leverage pulling on that clip.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's going to be a lot easier. And I don't know, that's obviously MIMS research.
Right.
But that's coming out, so all your attachments on the tables are going to be much lower, and they're going to fall even easier with the yellow clips.
Oh, man, I can hear the people yelling already.
Yeah. So what I'd like to see going forward is just bridging that gap where, like, we need more stuff out there. It's just really not that hard.
Right. Well, I think you need to get, as we talked yesterday in the meeting, you need to get with Dave Voss because he's, yep, the big one on that part of it. And
did you hear his excuse for not coming? His dog sitter kid.
Yeah, his dog sitter. You know what? That's legit.
Yeah.
Dave, send your dogs to the kennel, man.
Well, but there's a kennel cough going right there. Respiratory virus going around, so you can't do that. Don't endanger the dogs.
Don't endanger the dogs. But surely you could have figured it out, Dave. Come
on. I know. Come on.
All right, that's fine. We'll get Dave on here in the future, and we'll maybe we can have the two of you on, and you could talk about
back and
this.
Forth. That'd, yeah, that'd be good. Fun. We have a call on Monday, Dave and I.
Could you record it for me?
Not this quality.
Okay.
You send me home with these little microphones.
Yeah, I might. All right, listen, Mark, I appreciate you coming on. And seriously, thanks for taking on that role. I think it's the more we can have multiple people in leadership roles in the safety, the better it's going to be. It is such a great committee, and I'm pumped that you're doing it.
Well, thank you.
So thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so thank you guys for watching the show this week. We really appreciate it. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, whatever you celebrate, and have a great holiday season. And we will be back in the new year with our next show. It'll be sure to be a great one. We're getting really close to 100 episodes. We're going to have a big party for our 100th episode coming up in, I think, what would be sometime end of February. So we're excited about that. Keep your ears open for that one. And again, thank you to Horse Trailer Pros. We truly appreciate all of their support. And thank you to Stressless for our virtual studio here and our awesome new studio at home. Centerlinedistribution.net, JR23 is your promo code. And we will catch you guys at the next one. We have an awesome show for you guys today.
The greatest event of all time.
Good news for the sport.